It is Wednesday, January 20th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, gunmen attack a university in northwestern Pakistan. What will the administration of Taiwan's incoming president, Tsai Ing-wen, mean for relations with the United States?
The Taiwan administration understands that the United States doesn't want her administration to rock the boat.
And we hear the musical nominees for this year's Academy Awards. It's all ahead. Officials and hospital sources are saying that a gun and bomb attack on a university in northwestern Pakistan killed at least 25 people and wounded dozens more. I'm joined now by reporter Ayaz Ghul, who's in Islamabad. Ayaz, what is known about the circumstances of this attack?
Well, what we understand from the officials in Charsada, which is around 150 kilometers from Islamabad towards northwest, is that four gunmen who basically, two of them were suicide bombers. They attacked this so-called Bacha Khan University in the town of Charsada in the morning, just when the students were beginning to undertake their classes. And in fact, there was an internal annual ceremony also taking place when these four attackers entered the campus and started indiscriminately firing at students and teachers and causing so many casualties. But according to officials, there were enough security on the campus that prevented and confined these attackers to one of the blocks of the university. And that's where this six-hour-long gun battle then continued.
Has there been any claim of responsibility for the attack?
Well, interestingly, a little-known group claiming to be part of the Pakistani Taliban telephoned journalists in Peshawar, in that area, in that province, and claimed responsibility for the attack. But the main Tehreek-e-Taliban Pakistan, the alliance of militant organizations which have been fighting against the state of Pakistan, has issued a statement basically distancing itself from the attack, saying their targets are the military-linked institutions in Pakistan and the security forces, and that they don't carry out attacks against purely civilian institutions. So there's confusion about as to who has actually carried out this attack.
Is it known why Bacha Khan University was selected for this attack?
Well, what we have seen in recent months, I mean, we see there's an increase of these kind of attacks over the past few weeks. And this university is located in an isolated area, you know, surrounded by open fields, and there's no residential areas around the university. It's like one isolated structure in this Charsada locality. And that's why when you look at the way the official presented the details of how the attackers entered the university, they basically used this area behind, this vast open area behind the university, one of the walls, and they climbed the walls and they basically used the hostel of the university. Obviously, this was empty at that time and there was no security at that side. So I think it encouraged them to attack this university because of the circumstances around this structure. And again, they're now choosing soft targets. They have demonstrated through their recent attacks that they are now looking for soft targets, and that's why they targeted this university, because very few people knew until this attack happened this morning that this was located really in an isolated place, which made it a very simple and easy target for these attackers.
Have Pakistani officials made any comments as to whether security needs to be further tightened at certain facilities around the country?
Well, yes, they have. In fact, over the last few days in this province, Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province, where Charsada is located, intelligence officials have alerted provincial authorities that there could be some kind of attacks. And only yesterday, just on the outskirts of provincial capital Peshawar, from where Charsada is just 50 kilometers, we have had this major attack against a security outpost that killed at least 12 people and for which the Pakistani Taliban did claim responsibility. So we have seen this increase in attacks over the last few weeks, but let me just tell you that over the past 1.5 year, or maybe since the this major attack against a school in Peshawar that killed 150 people, mostly children, the number of these terrorist attacks have significantly gone down. But there are worries now that in the last few weeks, we have seen repeated major attacks, like five major attacks in which more than 55 or 60 people have died. So this indicates, obviously, maybe a new trend, or maybe the militants who have been cornered or forced to flee certain areas by the ongoing military operations have now been able to regroup and trying to reassert themselves by carrying out these attacks. So this has definitely worried authorities, and that's why we see that the Prime Minister of this country, Nawaz Sharif, now has issued special directives that security must be tightened, especially in areas like Khyber Pakhtunkhwa and other parts of Pakistan.
Thanks very much, Ayaz. That's Ayaz Gul reporting from Islamabad. Well, with a look at how the Pakistan attack is playing out on social media, here's my colleague, Susan Yaki.
Thank you, Sarah. Hello, everyone. This story is just bringing such a huge firestorm of reaction. Google News Trending said there were 2,501 news articles. A Daily Time headline says, Dr. Saeed Hamed martyred in Baka Khan University attack. It reads, one of the great chemistry professors killed in the attack. Students told that Saeed Hamed Hussein is the brave teacher who fights back against terrorists. Geology student Zahur Ahmed said that his chemistry lecturer had warned him not to leave the building after the first shots were fired. He says the professor was holding a pistol in his hand. He said, then I saw a bullet hit him. I saw two militants were firing. Another student quoted in his article, in this particular article, he described seeing the chemistry professor holding a pistol and firing at the attackers, then falling down as the terrorists entered the office. The Pakistan attack was the top trending story on Twitter. At hashtag Baka Khan University, APP News writes, a terrorist attack killing young students in Pakistan has yet again stunned the world. People from various walks of life have reacted to the gruesome killings of innocents. Ghosties person at ghost underline La Roche says, no one should die simply because they went to university today. Violence is a cancer on the face of the earth. Sean Francis tweets, getting sick and tired of waking up every morning to learn of a new terrorist attack. Would all world leaders stand up? Bluffmaster says, I guess terrorism will end only after it destroys everything. Sonal at Sonal Mera says, no words right now. Prayers go out to all those affected. May their families find peace. I pray for a better world. Antrishkes at IA Mantrix writes, what has the world become? It used to be so peaceful. Prayers and thoughts to the victims. And Faisal Khan says, terrorists attack educational institutions because they know the biggest threat to them is educated youth. Sarah?
Thanks very much, Susan. That's International Edition's Susan Yaki. This is VOA.
Here's Science in a Minute.
After a successful satellite launch, an international collaboration of oceanographers have a new tool to help them monitor the rise in global sea level. The Jason 3 spacecraft blasted off from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California on January 17. Jason 3 will further efforts to measure global ocean levels that began in 1992 with the TOPICS Poseidon mission. Over the more than 20 years since such satellite measurements began, researchers say the world sea level has risen by 70 millimeters with an annual average increase of about 3 millimeters a year. The Jason 3 mission is a collaboration between NASA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the French Space Agency, CNES, and the European Organization for the Exploitation of Meteorological Satellites. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, we look at Academy Award nominated songs. The Secretary General of Taiwan's victorious Democratic Progressive Party, Joseph Wu, says domestic issues such as food safety, health care, pension reform, and housing costs drove voters Saturday to reject the ruling nationalist Kuomintang, or KMT, party of President Ma Ying-jeou after 8 years. Speaking Tuesday at the Centers for Strategic and International Studies, Wu said young voters overwhelmingly rejected the KMT, which has ruled the country for most of the past 66 years. On Saturday, former law professor Tsai Ing-wen won the election to become Taiwan's first female leader, getting 56% of the vote. She takes power May 20th. The DPP also won 68 of the 113 seats in parliament, giving it legislative control for the first time ever. Wu said the DPP, which has been skeptical of closer ties with mainland China, has sought to present a balanced view on cross-strait relations. He said his party's victory should not be viewed as a defeat for China, and he welcomed what he called China's measured response to the election. The DPP party leader spoke of future relations with both the mainland and the United States, including possible membership in the Trans-Pacific Partnership free trade regime.
We will do our utmost to find a mutually acceptable mode of interaction between Taiwan and the mainland, one that avoids confrontation and prevents surprises. We will, in the new session of the legislature, put forward the cross-strait agreement oversight legislation as a priority to highlight our interest in peaceful and stable relations with China. Taiwan's relations with the United States will be the utmost importance to our incoming DPP administration, especially on our foreign relations. We will continue to improve economic security and political ties with the United States and engage in an effort to reform legal infrastructure and make the necessary structural adjustment for Taiwan to be included in the second round TPP negotiations. We will increase investment in the defense budget proportionate to Taiwan's economic growth, particularly increasing investment in Taiwan's indigenous defense programs for self-defense. We will adopt a consistent and predictable policy agenda with the United States so that Taiwan can be regarded as a trustworthy strategic partner that makes a meaningful contribution to U.S. global operations.
That's the Secretary General of Taiwan's Democratic Progressive Party, Joseph Wu, speaking in Washington. Joseph Chung, a China analyst at Hong Kong University, tells International Edition's Victor Beatty Wu's remarks are intended to reassure both Washington and Beijing that Taiwan's new administration will do nothing to provoke China and will maintain stable, if not cordial, cross-strait ties.
The Taiwan administration understands that the United States doesn't want her administration to rock the boat. And at the same time, this message would also send reassurance not only to Beijing, but also to the business community in Taiwan. The concern on the part of the DPP is to prevent the kind of scenario which emerged in the previous DPP Chen Shui-bian administration, which caused worry in Washington, D.C. about serious deterioration in cross-strait relations leading to American involvement, which is undesirable from Washington, D.C.'s point of view. The new Tsai Ing-wen administration also wants to reassure Beijing so that Beijing will not start trying to exert pressure on Taipei.
Mr. Wu said that building trust between mainland China and Taiwan would be a, quote, step-by-step process. What does he mean?
Beijing has to take steps to ensure that the cross-strait dialogue will lead to the enhancement of strategic trust at the government level and also basic trust between people on both sides of the Taiwan Strait. On one hand, Taiwan people are concerned, are worried that close economic and other exchanges across the Taiwan Strait may bring undesirable effects on the ordinary life of Taiwan people, like too many tourists, like Beijing's business interests begin to affect the position of the mainstream media in Taiwan, and at the same time, there is, of course, the pressure on the part of Tsai Ing-wen's own party and the civil society that cross-strait exchanges need more accountability, transparency, and consultation with the people.
That's Joseph Chung of Hong Kong University. Chung doubts Taiwan will be able to join the TPP anytime soon. He says China opposes Taiwan's participation in any international organization with other sovereign states. This is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on VOA.
Hi, my name's Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, your request and dedication program here at the Voice of America. 1500 Universal, Monday through Friday, we're there for an hour playing your favorite music. You can send an email in and request your favorite songs by your favorite artists. You can also phone in as well. We have great contests and surprise guests from time to time. Border Crossings, every single day during the week at 1500 Universal, here on the Voice of America.
This is International Edition. Movie fans are anxiously waiting Oscars night next month when Hollywood hands out its top annual movie industry honors. Music fans will have to look forward to something on that night as well. International Edition's Jim Stevenson reviews the Oscar music nominees with VOA Top 20 Countdown host Ray McDonald.
The Oscars will be given out on February 28th, and we have five nominees in the Best Original Song category, and they include some pretty big names. We'll start out with The Weeknd, Earned It, from 50 Shades of Grey. Mm,
great song.
It is a great song, and I'm glad to see The Weeknd in the running. He's a fast-rising talent. We have Manta Ray by J. Ralph and Anthony from a documentary called Racing Extinction. The singer for this song, Anthony, is from an English group called Anthony and the Johnstons. He is a fantastic vocalist. He's not very well known, but to me, it's a once-in-a-generation voice, and I think it would be incredibly cool to see him hoist the Academy Award.
Definitely.
We also have Simple Song No. 3 by David Lang from the movie Youth. This is a classical composition. I guess this has to be considered the dark horse of the field. We have Till It Happens to You by Lady Gaga, which she co-wrote with Diane Warren, who's an extremely well-known pop songwriter. And this is actually a very powerful song. It's from a documentary on campus rape called The Hunting Ground. And it's about, you know, sexual attacks. Mm-hmm. And I think it's part of a larger career renaissance on the part of Lady Gaga. You know, she wore out her welcome a couple of years ago with the Art Pop album. It was a bit of a commercial disappointment, and it just seemed like Lady Gaga kept trying to top herself with new and outrageous outfits.
Right, right.
But over the past couple of years, she's reshifted her emphasis back to where it really needs to be, which is on her voice. She has an incredible voice.
Yeah, and we heard that with Tony Bennett.
She toured with Tony Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
This is a beautiful, powerful ballad. And Gaga's working on an album, and I think it's going to surprise a lot of people. And I think it's going to put the spotlight back on her talent. And our fifth and final nominee, I suppose, could be called the favorite, if any of them could be. And that is Writings on the Wall, the Spectre theme by Sam Smith. Earlier this month, Sam took the Best Original Song Golden Globe Award for this song, and the Golden Globes are sometimes seen as Oscar predictors.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam also has a bit of history on his side, because back in 2012, Adele shared the Best Original Song Oscar for Skyfall, which was the previous James Bond theme. Honestly, these are five great compositions, and may the best person win.
And if for some reason you haven't heard one or any of these, definitely check them out. You got plenty of time before the Oscars come up to hear some really great music. Somebody's going to win an award on this,
there
and
you
it'll
go.
Be fun to see who it is. And the winner is you for joining us. Join Ray McDonald each week for the Top 20 Countdown. Ray, you're also on Twitter.
I am on Twitter at Ray on the Hits, and I posted an article about the nominees. It also includes videos of all five nominees, so you can hear and see the videos.
Definitely check that out. Ray, thanks so much for dropping by our studio.
Thanks so much, Jim.
That is, that number is among the musical selections that have been nominated for Academy Awards. Make sure you watch next month and see who wins. Well, that's our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Libya, the four-year political power struggle following the fall of Muammar Gaddafi's regime split and destabilized the country. On December 17th, UN-facilitated political envoys from Libya's two rival governments and a number of independent political figures signed the Libyan political agreement that will form a unified Libyan government of national accord. Subsequently, the UN Security Council on December 23rd unanimously passed on UN Security Council Resolution 2259, welcoming the formation of the new government of national accord and sending a clear message that this unified government will be the sole legitimate government of Libya. The Presidency Council that will lead the new government is currently working actively towards the formation of the new government with the support of the United Nations. To address Libya's threat from ISIL and other terrorist groups, Libya needs a united government. In the past weeks, ISIL-affiliated militants have conducted a number of violent attacks in Libya. In the first week of January, they attempted to capture the Sidra oil port and the nearby oil town of Ras Lanuf, and in the process set fire on a number of oil tanks. On January 7th, a suicide bomber drove a truck into a training camp for Coast Guard cadets. At least 65 people were killed. The United States strongly condemns these attacks and extends its condolences to the families of the victims. Violent extremists, including ISIL-affiliated groups, threaten all Libyans throughout the country. With their attacks on oil fields, they are threatening resources that belong to the Libyan people and that all Libyans must strive to protect for future generations, said State Department spokesperson John Kirby. These incidents stress again the urgent need for Libya's new leaders to formalize the government of national accord, as outlined in the Libyan political agreement. This is a vital step to address the country's critical humanitarian, economic, and security challenges.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, voanews.com/editorials.